on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Welcome to Quest for Gold. We're less than a month away from the Winter Olympics in Milano Cortina. Some news we've been keeping a watchful eye on: snowboarding phenom Chloe Kim says she dislocated her shoulder while training in Switzerland. Here's what she posted to Instagram Friday.
And that ultimately resulted in me dislocating my shoulder. Just so fun. Trying to stay really optimistic. I think I don't have much clarity right now.
She's due for an MRI and will know more after that. She is not yet officially qualified for Italy. U.S. figure skating nationals are underway in St. Louis. The stars have been shining in competition so far. Amber Glenn, Alyssa Liu, Ilya Molinin, even Jason Brown. We'll have more on the results coming up next week. The 2026 Free Ski and Snowboard U.S. Grand Prix, a part of Making Team USA, is taking place this week in Aspen, Snowmass, Colorado. In biathlon, Paul Schomer qualified for his second Olympics. Joanne Reed, her third. Sean Doherty, his fourth Olympics. And that gives Team USA now 8 athletes headed to Italy for biathlon. U.S. Speed Skating's named its 13 nominees for Team USA following the long track trials in Milwaukee last week. They now include former Olympian and two-time medalist Brittany Bowe in the 1,000 and 1,500 meter. Erin Jackson made her third Olympics in the 500 meter. She'll be defending her gold. She'll also be competing in the 1,000, and we'll talk to her next week. Georgia Birkeland is entering her second Olympics in team pursuit. Mia Manganiello's headed to her third Olympics for mass start in team pursuit. She won bronze in team pursuit in 2018. And two first-timers, Greta Myers in the 1,500 mass start and team pursuit, and Sarah Warren in the 500 meter. You'll hear Sarah's name pop up during our interview. Let's flip over to the men's side. Not a shocker, international favorite Jordan Stolz qualified for the 500 meter, the 1,000, 1,500 meter, and mass start. This will be his second Olympics. Connor McDermott Mastoi in the 1,000 meter, Cooper McLeod in the 500 and 1,000. Don't get them confused. That's an inside joke they've got. And Zach Stoppelmore in the 500 meter. They're all making their Olympic debuts. And of course, we've got the pain train, Olympic veterans who will be competing in multiple races in Italy. Casey Dawson, Emery Lehman, who we spoke to a few weeks ago, and Ethan Seprin, who joins us this week to talk Team Pursuit 2022. Changes he's made in his approach, and a little bit about the Bears-Packers rivalry headed into this weekend's playoff game. All right, I got a third of the pain train here. This is fantastic. I talked cool. to Emery earlier this week. Nice. Congratulations on your gold medal. It was a record, correct?
And yeah, we set a world record at the first World Cup this season.
Which is interesting because he told me, and I don't know if you feel the same way, he didn't even think that was your best run.
No, I mean, it can always be better, but I mean, it definitely felt like the best we had skated together this year. Of our three races at World Cups, that was definitely the highlight, but yeah, I mean, I think we always got more in the tank. You know, there's a few things execution-wise we can work on, just technically, I don't know, it's always nice to feel like there's progress that you can make.
Sure. And obviously everyone's going to be gunning at you now in Italy.
Yeah.
If everything falls into place. Can you just kind of generically speak a little bit about Team Pursuit, the objective to the people who are watching it maybe for the first time, how the interactions work between you and the two other racers? I mean, just generally speaking, and maybe we can dig a little deeper into some of the aspects as well.
Yeah, so Team Pursuit is an event in long track speed skating for men. It's 8 laps. For women, it's 6 laps, and it's in the name, it's a team event, so it's not an individual skater. It's 3 skaters working together to get through all 8 laps as fast as possible, and the third skater across the line sets the time.
And that's you, right?
Yeah, that's me in third, so it's important.
I saw you wearing the yellow band. Does the third always wear the yellow band? Is that what Adinic, or is that just what you guys have?
I have no idea. They always just, the ISU gives like the start list, and for some reason, I guess I end up with yellow most of the time, but
is there an advantage to being on the back of it? What makes you unique for the back end of that?
I mean, for the back, I mean, just being able to follow is always a huge key. I mean, I skated with Emery for most of my life, or I've grown up watching him skate. So, you know, I'm lucky enough to be able to kind of tailor my own technique to, you know, how he skates and mimic him. Not even like, you know, you're learning things every day just by following Emery and Casey. So, yeah, I mean, third, you get two people's worth of draft. So, you know, I guess it's always like you're only doing 70% of the work of like the person in front of you. So it's like 70% off Casey for Emery. And then wherever, like, I guess, I don't know what 70% of 70% is. I don't know. I guess that's, you know, that's about half. So using that to give all my extra energy up front so that, you know, Emery feels me, then Casey feels the output of that as well.
So are you pushing? You're not really pushing from behind, though.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm pushing from.
Oh, are you?
My hand is firmly planted on Emery's.
Okay.
Emery's butt. You
yeah.
Know.
All right. So you're pushing them from behind. They're trying to keep pace. And obviously, Emery's trying to not cross legs with you guys.
Yeah. So he's got a tough job. He's squeezed in the middle. Like in third, I have a bit more freedom. You know, mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about kicking somebody behind me. Or if somebody had, like, you know, somebody doesn't have to follow me if I misstep or whatever, you know, it doesn't have as big of an impact on the group. Whereas if, you know, Casey missteps up front, it really, you know, you don't want to see a whole lot of snaking going on. Sure. It's really as straight of a line as possible is the goal. You know, you want to see six legs moving together at once and not just, you know, like a big waterfall effect.
Do you guys hit like it's almost like a flow state where all of a sudden you guys are just kind of locked in and you kind of,
yep.
You guys have enough foresight to see what everyone's going to do and kind of how things are feeling in the moment?
Yeah, no, you can see. So that's where like Emery and I think are really good at that, is just being able to see, like, I know what Casey's doing, even though I can barely see, you know, any bit of him. You know, I can see, like, sense the rhythm, just, you know, when he's about to push by looking at Emery and, you know, lining that up. And it does feel, you know, when we're really on one, or even when, you know, it's not going as great, you do feel like that synchronicity when it's lining up. You can feel that just energy and speed come so much easier than when you're fighting each other.
What do you think about the team pursuit versus the individual sport? I mean, is there one that you prefer, the individual races? Is there one you prefer better? Do you like working with the two of them? Is it a little different than being out on your own?
It is different than being on your own. I mean, for better or for worse, you know, skating with two other guys, you know, we're all relying on each other. Like, we're not doing that alone. Like, Casey's up front. He's trusting that we're going to push him. Otherwise, you know, it would be an individual event for him. I mean, we're lucky that Casey is really strong and really easy to follow. But also, you know, on your bad days, you may have a bad individual race. Some days you have to race a team pursuit that weekend or that day. And, you know, those guys are relying on you. You can't just give up. You know, you're not just skating for yourself at that point. You're skating for the team, for your coach, you know, for your country, because it's not team Casey, Emery, Ethan, it's Team USA out there. And so that's, you know, that's a big driving factor there. No matter how bad you skate that morning or how good you feel the day before, you know, there's that pressure to show up. Individually, I mean, I love the mass start. That's probably my favorite individual event, just because, you know, it feels the most like racing. I love the 5K and 1500 also, but growing up pack skating at the Pettit Center, that was always, it's just fun, you know, not just like, I enjoy time trialing, getting into that flow state as well. But, you know, when you're out there racing everybody, you know, kind of bumping shoulders, that's the most fun you can kind of have.
And with the U.S. trials coming up here at Pettit, the place you're very familiar with, racing against, I mean, this Team USA is stacked. I mean, right? I mean, every day when you're racing against them, you're racing against the best in the world. You don't have to worry about that, do you?
Yeah. I mean, Jordan Stolz is kind of, he's the best speed skater in the world. It's hard to argue against
him. Do you sit back and watch him just like, I mean, do you watch his tapes? I mean, you're racing,
oh, yeah,
right?
You kind of have to, just because, yeah. I mean, it's the things that he does, just how strong he is. It's kind of unbelievable. And then, yeah, skating with him in Mass Start as well. It's just kind of like, okay, like I'm, you know, we can kind of work together as a team a little bit and, you know, manipulate the race how we want to. But yeah, someday, like the last race in Hamar, he just kind of took off from the pack when I will not at solo break at the end with two or three laps to go. And I was just like, that's impressive. 'Cause I think I'm a pretty good skater and, you know,
He's next
pretty
level, huh?
fit. And then it's just like, wow, like the energy to be able to go and do that was pretty impressive. And, you know, you get to the last lap of the race. I had sprint points at that point. I just looked across and you're like, oh, well, I guess I'll watch the sprint finish and see how close it gets or how close people can get, maybe.
Sure. I was talking with Emery a little bit about 2022 and the third place, the bronze finish, and you're younger than him. I have no doubt that you'd be in this place regardless of the result there. But I mean, is there a chip on your shoulder? Do you want to flip that bronze to gold, or are you pretty satisfied with how that race turned out?
I'll never say satisfied. I mean, it's hard to leave and not be happy with a medal at your first Olympics. Of course, going in, you know, we were the favorites. Everybody looked at us like it was a shock when we lost to the Russians in the semifinal, and we skated a great race in the semifinal. I thought we were strong. It felt good. We went faster than the quarterfinal rounds. We made adjustments. Granted, we had a few, I mean, Casey getting COVID before wasn't a great start to it. You know, that did add a little bit of pressure or just stress of getting to the line. But man, I'm proud of the semifinal race and in the final as well, even though I didn't get to race it. You know, it was definitely a shock to us to not only lose, but, you know, lose when we skated great or really well. And so watching the final was definitely nerve-wracking because I wanted to be in the position where we know what medal or we know we're getting a medal. It's just a matter of gold or silver, but you know, we still had to go out, fight for bronze and such. And so I mean, it does leave a bit of a not a sour taste, but definitely keeps you hungry.
Did it
And
change
so,
your approach at all this time around? Whether either mentally or physically, or
yeah, I mean, it just shows you can't take anything for granted. You know, every race we go out, it's our goal to win. And just having that hunger is so, you know, it can really set you apart because, you know, you're going out there again. You're not alone. You know, it's got to be three guys that are hungry as each other. And so that definitely, you know, it helps us keep focused because we know. You know, well, we know there's a timeline on this. You know, Emery's retiring. We don't know how long. You know, you never know when your last opportunity to win is. So, it definitely keeps us hungry and focused.
what did you learn from that race and just being an Olympian over the last 4 years? Has it changed your approach at all to races in general?
It has. I mean, it's definitely given a bit of confidence just because it's like, you know, once you've been there, you know, you can get back and you know that, you know, getting to the first games wasn't an easy road between, you know, injuries, sickness, whatever, like having that perpetual drive, you know, just keep you moving forward. And I mean, it helps just having, you know, goals, knowing that you can get better, you know, that knowing that we are a stronger team now than we were back then. And I mean, it absolutely, there's definitely a chip on the shoulder being like, you know what, we want to be champions. And you know, at the end of the day, it's not even about being champions, but about going out there and racing like champions. I don't know, I mean, if you go out there and actually, I mean, execute everything that you can and do everything in your power, that's when you can leave satisfied. You know, it's not always just about the medal. I mean, we've won three World Cup medals this season, and you know, two of the races we felt like we got off and we were like, we know we can do better than that. And so it's nice to be on that team and being like, okay, we see things, you know, we're not content at just winning, but by executing what we can.
When I was at the Team USA Media Summit, they talked a lot about mental health. They talked about sleep. They talked about diet. I'm actually going to talk with Dr. Emily Clark of the USOPC later today about sleep specifically. Is this something that you've been dealing with? And
I mean, sleep's a huge factor. We've done some sleep stuff with USOPC this year, and I think I'm like 98% sure Emily was at like the head of it for us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's such a massive impact.
Physically, mentally, both probably, I guess.
Both, some days, it's like if you feel like the world, I can't remember what the quote is exactly, but it's like if you feel like the world, everybody hates you, you probably just need to sleep a little bit.
Okay.
Or whatever, with like that irritability and such, it's like you probably just need a little bit of rest.
Like, how have you been taking some of that? What does sleep mean? Are you trying to get into a cycle where you're
just sleeping? Consistency.
I know LeBron James says he takes like a bunch of naps before games. I don't know if that's like craziness you guys do or
no. I mean, I'll usually race days, you never sleep well the day before a race, especially like World Cup or a big one where like there is pressure. Like it's just natural. But yeah, they're big on, get into your cycle, try to stay in it, establish it when traveling, because traveling just throws you for such a such a whirl. And so we can definitely, it's just such an essential part of, recovering, adjusting, training, even just, your mental well-being can be so affiliated with it that it's definitely made a big impact.
And it keeps you from getting sick. So that's a benefit too, especially for you guys. Cause we heard at the summit that, if you have a cold, there's a likelihood that you're going to finish three levels below what you normally would if you were completely healthy. So US speed skating? I mean, they're going to factor that in before Milan Cortina, I guess. You guys are probably going to be there a little bit early, get on those sleep cycles.
We go to Insel for World Cup 5, I think like 2 weeks before we go into like the actual Olympic Village.
Yeah.
So that'll be nice. We should be adjusted by that point.
Tell me a little bit about this Beyond the Podium program.
So SLCC has been partnered with US Speed Skating for, I don't know, last 7 or 8 years. Long enough for me, I've been on the national team for quite a bit, but they offer pretty much tuition-free services to all athletes on the national team and some in the programs below. So you just pay student fees. So, you get a semester of schoolwork to work on your associate's degree for about $200 a semester, maybe not even.
Sure.
So it's been great just for taking classes, when you're around the world, when I'm home, just always being able to, continue the education.
So would you consider yourself a full-time athlete, but a part-time student right now?
Absolutely. Very, very part-time student. Usually I end up taking one or two classes a semester between SLCC and the University of Utah.
What are you going toward?
A mechanical engineering degree.
Okay. I mean, is there time between Olympics for you to get internships, to do some work, to meet some companies, or are you kind of tied up in sport right now?
Kind of tied up at the moment. I mean, I'll probably try and take a step back next year and do a little bit more school because I'm somewhere at like the beginning of junior year. I'm at like the very end of my time at SLCC. So I think I got like two classes, finish those up during the summer. And then I guess focus a little bit more maybe on classes at the U during the fall and see what I can do with traveling then. But at the moment, probably won't be taking any classes during the winter just because of what I have to take left is all in person. And so, being at the Olympics or being in Europe for, I don't know, 4 or 6 weeks might be a little hard to be in tune.
But it sounds as though the USOPC is trying to help people locate the jobs, find jobs, think about the world after sport. I know that there was the new $100,000 money that's going to be coming down the road, obviously, for athletes who participate in the 2026 games. It seems as though, and you you haven't been at this for a long time, but it seems as though the structure kind of around the athletes is improving, whether it be sponsorship money, whether it be access to mental health or physical health or anything like that. Have you noticed that? Have you been able to take
Oh,
advantage of that?
absolutely. I mean, sponsorships is always a tough one because, I mean, like they do, like sponsors come in, like, oh, I don't know if it's Toyota anymore. Like Toyota back in the day, 4 years ago, you know, like they come in, they choose two athletes per like NGB that they support or just people that they want. Like, Aaron Jackson was sponsored by them for quite a bit. I don't know if she still is or not, but, so sometimes that can, like, money will go to the NGB or, yeah, NGB, which will then help us, you know, with travel, other costs, and such. And then, you know, more money will go to specific athletes. So that stuff is, you know, it helps all athletes, but, you know, some do get a greater benefit than others, which, I mean, it makes sense. That's how it's always been. But yeah, then school, you know, school, mental health, stuff like that. The USOPC will help with tuition grants, helping set up internships at, I believe, like, they'll have athlete summits to where it can be like, okay, how do you know, how do you prepare for post career or for your new career, post sport? And for a White House visit, you know, that athlete summit was massive. Just so you can sign up for certain, like, seminars, classes, just to, like, one, help you go through the process of coming down from the Olympics, because you can definitely feel very lost and just being like, oh,
Now
it's
what?
on, like, yeah, it's literally like, it's not, that's it, but all of a sudden, you know, like the eyes of the world go elsewhere, you know, the attention kind of, it dissipates, you know, you go to a few events, you know, you try and get out there, share your story, but yeah, definitely, it can definitely feel like, okay, like what am I doing next? And the mental side of that can be really, really tough. Even if you're handling it well, or you think you are, it can definitely be like, oh, like 4 years down the road is the next big, like, thing. Like, it feels far away. I mean, it goes by very quick, especially season by season. You know, you think, oh, a year goes by, you're like, oh, I still got 3 years. Another season goes by and you're like, oh my gosh, there's 2 seasons left until I'm supposed to be at my peak again. And the USOPC has also been really good about offering mental support services. Like, I'm lucky enough to get to work with a sports psych through the USOPC for free. So it's been very, very helpful just for, you know, not just sport, but again, general well-being and such. Because, I mean, it's awesome. I'm so lucky to be an athlete, but, you know, it's nice to talk things through and just, you know, it's nice to be able to talk, you know, training through and not feel like you're just an athlete. Like, you're still a person throughout this and you're still trying to build yourself up. And even with, you know, the best team around you, the best support system, you know, sometimes you just need, you know, another outside person to help and really just be like, no, it's all okay, you know.
Interesting, because from the outside looking in, you know, Olympic athlete, and you've got, you know, all this training and amazing, you know, life, and I'm sure you wouldn't trade it for a world. But on the other hand too, you probably see friends from high school who are, you know, getting their own jobs, getting careers, moving up
Oh
to
my gosh.
management, you know, getting married,
Oh.
having kids and things like that, and you're like, I still got this other quad I got to get through, you know. So
The
it's
funny thing about that was, so I was lucky, like, I graduated high school in 2018, so there was a games that year. And then, so I got 4 years after I graduated high school to go through, you know, the process of making it to the Olympics. And, you know, all of a sudden, it wasn't just like making it to the Olympics, but, you know, like fulfilling the lifelong dream of winning an Olympic medal and, you know, leading the games. You know, it's still, yeah, it's stung a little bit. It wasn't gold, but at the same time, it's still, you know, it's what leaving with bronze was, you know, so many people would be so
Sure.
happy, fortunate, and such. You can't, you know, it still was a dream come true. And, you know, thinking about it, it's awesome. But then, so that's February. And then seeing, I don't know, I'm on, you know, you're on cloud nine, I'm 21, lifelong dream. It's like, oh, what's next? You know, 2 months later, I see everybody graduating from college. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am so far behind. Even though I was exactly where I wanted to be. And so it's definitely tough.
Yeah.
And then that's gone down as, you know, I've seen, you know, people are starting careers and such, but it's definitely, it really throws your mind for a whirl.
You're in Utah, right? Do you plan to come back to Illinois at any point, or do you
set up camp
there?
I mean, it's definitely with travel, like in Utah for most of the summer and such, I try to come home every spring just because it's, you know, especially, I mean, love the Wisconsin area as well. It's just love the water. It's a little dry in Utah. It is. I mean, they've done a really awesome job maintaining facilities and maintaining that Olympic spirit, especially with 2034. But, yeah, definitely. I look forward to being back in the Midwest full time at some point in the future.
Sure. Very good. Did you watch the Bears game at all Saturday?
I did. We were at a,
you're a Bears fan, right? You're not a Packers fan.
I am a Bears fan.
Okay. All right. Just 100%. Double checking that.
So we had a skater Christmas party. Emery and I are both Bears fans.
Sure.
Sarah Warren, who's Kevin Warren's niece, is also
on our team. Is she really the one who you did the video with? That's Kevin Warren's niece?
At least. I think so. So we're all there. There's an unbelievable amount of Packers fans also, because a lot of skaters come from Chicago.
Well, Jordan's from Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, he's not a huge, I don't know if he's like a huge Packers supporter or not. You know, we don't get into the,
I threw a question at him and he seems like he had other things that's on his mind. So I don't think he was too deep into it, getting into the Bears.
But we got, let's see, a few people, quite a few athletes are Packers fans. Like Casey's mom is actually from Wisconsin, so he's been roped in as a Packers fan, so we couldn't convince him. That's our biggest beef on the paint train, I guess. Our strength coach is a Packers fan. It's, you know, we butt heads a little bit there, quite a bit, but it's watching it together, and I won't lie, I was definitely a little nervous.
You had to be nervous.
We couldn't get the ball in the end zone. Watch the opening drive with everybody, seeing the ball fly over Manungai's head was just heartbreaking. You're just like, okay, then we go upstairs, you finish, come back, watch the second half. And, you know, I think it took some weeks or maybe I wouldn't say years off my life, but it never, until the last 5 minutes, it didn't feel like we really had a chance, or it didn't feel like we could execute the chance. But then, you know,
the onside kick
everything. I mean, it just, the stars aligned. And I know, I mean, it's tough because neither team was at full strength. I mean, I'll say that.
Yeah.
I mean, Bears missing Rome and Luther. But man, just seeing it actually like come back and being like, I'm texting my middle brother Gordon the entire time, just being like, this is rough, man. Like he's surrounded by Packers fans too. And it was nice to get the last laugh.
Where can people follow you online? Are you social media savvy?
Maybe not savvy. We're trying to post more, but like USA Pain Train or Ethan Sepp 11 on Instagram.
Ethan qualified for Mass Start and Team Pursuit. He'll be rooting for the Bears this weekend, and of course, we'll be rooting for him in February. Quick LA 2028 Summer Olympics news next week. January 14th kicks off the ticket lottery draw. So if you'd like to attend the games in LA, now's the time to get signed up to get your first shot at tickets to the events. That'll do it for this week's episode of Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. Next week, we talk with Aaron Jackson. We'll see you then.